Welcome to the best of the RSN Breakfast Club. Here's a little bit of what we did. Take a listen.
Good morning, Wally.
Level 100%, 90%. I feel like you're just a little bit back from 100%. Just, it's a brave effort to be here.
Well, there's all forms of courage.
That's right.
I display most of them most weeks.
But I agree.
This is something extra. Something extra. The courage was actually Monday. Coming in. When I didn't even know I was sick.
Stunning. Stunning. Be remembered forever. I'll be back in a sec. Type leave from the studio, never to be seen again. And we're all sitting there going, are you coming back?
I actually said, just take this for a bit. That's what I said. Yeah. I'm not coming
back. Well, it was a mouth because we were on air. I thought you were taking a phone call.
No phone calls. No, it wasn't feeling very well. Not thankfully. I shouldn't say that. I did get some comfort that it wasn't just me. When I got home, there was a few others that had been struck down by the ailment. I didn't get comfort. Well, I did get a little bit of comfort. I thought it wasn't just me, that there was something going on.
There may be another host today on the RSN team that may have sort of been struck down with something similar.
Mickey Blue Eyes?
No.
The G-Man?
Yes.
He's gone.
I think he might be. I think he's in trouble.
Man down.
Mm.
It wasn't very nice. But it's nice to be back. Mm. But I did get some rest.
Yes.
There wasn't much going on in the house. I just went back to bed.
What's that? 2 days. What's the rest?
Well, we'll find out next week. No, it wasn't very nice. It wasn't very nice at all. What was I going to say about that? Well, I can't remember. Oh, yeah, I worked out that the worst patient in the house is my son. Mm. I thought I was bad as a patient, but my 14-year-old son is worse than me. The world's ending when he's done well. It's a horrible feeling, apparently, from his end. The world is ending, but we got through. We got through, and I'm back, and I'm very happy to be here because I quite like coming to work. It's a pretty good job.
That's good.
It's a pretty good job. If you are going to leave, though, leave on a Monday. That's the advice. When Jimmy's here, you got three people talking, you wouldn't even know.
Yeah.
And I would recommend being very, very careful. This is a message for all that ever come across the great Joe Pignataro. But just be mindful of the cup of tea that he makes you on a Monday morning.
Well, that's right. We're just wondering whether that was... Ram and I were both commenting on the fact that a hot beverage was brought into you by the producer. That had never been done before. Within 10 minutes, well, you'd left the studio and it collapsed.
Thank you, Mother, for the rabbit.
I was concerned about what he may or may not have put in that cup of tea. Anyway, we got through. Which was nice. Ben Simmons, the Ben Simmons Boomers thing. Where do you stand on this? Ben Simmons, clearly, I heard you talking about him yesterday with his performance for the Sixers in the NBA Finals, and it didn't go very well for Ben, nor his team, it must be said. And then all the reports are suggesting that he won't be suiting up for the Boomers come the Tokyo Olympics. What say you about that, Adam White?
I don't really have a great emotional attachment to Ben Simmons because you might remember that this isn't the first time that he has chosen not to represent his country.
No, that's true.
So I'm certainly not surprised. I think it's almost convenient that he can, that he's decided that he's probably not going to play for Australia in the Olympics. I don't think he's going to be the only one. I reckon, not just for Australia, but I think there'll be players around the world that will choose not to represent their country. There'll be a lot of pullouts across a number of sports, I think, because of the world we're living at the moment with coronavirus. So I wasn't surprised. I think that, I think it would be good for him if he did, particularly if he's someone that is low on confidence and, he's searching for that shot. He's searching for particularly free throws, but just to feel a bit better about himself, I think it would be a good thing for him to actually get around his fellow countrymen, a new voice, Brian Gorgian, some leadership from guys like Pat Mills and all these sorts of things that he might find himself rediscovering his form as a bit of a circuit breaker by being in a different environment that's a supportive environment because he's got countrymen around him. That would be my view.
Well, Chris Anstey shares a similar view. He was talking yesterday, the former Australian great, of course. For me, it's not so much of the skill development, it's about finding enjoyment in the game and representing yourself in your country. Mm. Now, similar sort of themes. to remind people of where he came from to give our country the best possible chance of winning a medal. Ben hasn't played in a major tournament. He went on to talk about that sort of stuff. But the chance to just go and play with the... I'm not sure how matey-matey he is with the Boomers and those guys over there, but there are plenty of NBA players that have put their hands up to be a part of the Australian team in the Olympics. And grand scheme of things, like the off-season's a fair period in the NBA, isn't it? They get a good chunk off.
Yeah.
It's 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And he could actually get a lot of shooting done if he wants, I imagine.
Yeah.
He could practice a lot of his stuff.
Yeah.
So it does seem an element there. It does seem an element of convenience in all of that.
But he won't be the only one. And I think that it is something that a lot of people get really emotional about if you are not going to put up your hand to represent your country. And we've had a similar issue recently in cricket now, albeit they're not pulling out of an Olympic Games or an Ashes series or a World Cup, but those players that have decided not to represent the country, their country in those matches against the West Indies and Bangladesh, I think people will accept that. But if those same people choose to represent their IPL teams a little bit later on in the year, that is when the public will turn.
Yes.
And so this is this whole thing about... And I don't think people are as connected to the Olympics as they were 20 years ago. But if there are players that start pulling out of representing their country, I don't think it's going to go down well for Ben, whether it's fair or unfair.
Well, someone telling us off the SMS that Paddy Mills has had a crack at him on social media overnight. He ain't playing. Says one of our SMSs, our trusted SMSs. I'm going to try and find that. On the socials because I haven't come across that. Joe Pignataro is going to send it to me, so yeah. We'll find out what he said about that. But if Paddy's having that say, then chances are he's not playing. And we know that Paddy's a bit different. I mean, his allegiance to the national team has been nothing short of exemplary.
Yeah, absolutely.
Throughout his time, he clearly sees it differently.
Yeah, look, we'll listen to Andrew Bogut. Andrew Bogut spoke on Fox Sports News last night just about the Ben Simmons decision and, you know, whether he thinks he should play and I guess the decision that is ahead of him.
To be blunt, Joe, if you need to be recruited to play for your national team and be denied and have a presentation about why you should play, you shouldn't play. That's my opinion on it. I mean, it's something that, you know, look, you give up your off season, you're going to miss time that you could be spending with family on a beach, having a few beers that we all want to do at times. And if you want to do that, by all means. But it's a big commitment to play for your national team. And I just don't think it's something that you need to be wooed to do.
Wooed.
Yeah.
Shouldn't need to be wooed to play for Australia.
And look, Andrew was a polarising character through his time as a professional basketballer. But he was somebody that really was keen to represent his country. And he was one of the big stars of the NBA. But he made himself available most of the time to play for his country. And I don't think that can be forgotten.
It's emotional about it. Very emotional. He's very emotional in the mornings.
I do.
I've just seen that photo Paddy posted on the socials. He's on the ground after being whacked in the green and gold colours. I imagine green and gold mindset, period, is what the caption goes with it. He's on the floor hunting for his country is what he's doing there. So that's a bit of a little side swipe there. At Big Ben off the SMS, the way Ben's shooting, we're probably better off without him. That's an interesting point too. It's a fascinating, the whole saga is fascinating. How you can get, I know you were talking about it yesterday, but how you can be a player in the best competition in the world and not be able to shoot half your free throws.
I know.
Like that makes no sense to me.
Well, but isn't it, it's almost like a golfer that gets the yips.
Yeah, but he's had them for a long time. This isn't a fresh thing. He can't shoot.
But it's got a lot worse than what it was.
Oh, there's no doubt. Exacerbated through the playoffs.
Yeah.
Because there was a bit more focus on it too.
Yeah.
But he was petrified of shooting the ball. Mm. He was underneath the ring and deciding to pass the ball off when he could have dunked the thing.
Yeah.
Like, dead set petrified. Mm. And that is an amazing place to be for Big Ben. But we'll see what the Aussies have got for us in the basketball as we build up the Olympics, which I'm sure there'll be plenty of coverage on here on RSN 97 because we are sports sort of people.
Yeah, exactly right.
Yes. Yes, we are. The other thing that was happening overnight was the shifting of the GWS Giants and the Sydney Swans to Melbourne. A last-minute dash almost. Every time we get to this point, there's a change in COVID region protocols and identification. We get a last-minute dash to the airport for all and sundry. And when last night it was the Sydney Swans' turn and the GWS Giants' turn to get to the airport to get out because of the situation currently applying in Sydney.
Well, Sydney becomes a red zone. It happened at 1 o'clock this morning. So I think it is interesting how AFL football clubs seem to get the news on these things before the general public. But they were planning that this was potentially going to be a possibility as early as Sunday. So they've got out just in time. Sydney are meant to play West Coast at the SCG next weekend, and they are supposed to play Port Adelaide at the Adelaide Oval this weekend.
Yes.
So, but they're now based in Melbourne.
They won't be playing West Coast next weekend in Sydney.
No, but
McGowan won't let them back
in. That's exactly right.
Weekend.
But even this weekend, will they get to play in South Australia, or will Port Adelaide have to come to Melbourne? Like, it's just completely up in the air at the moment.
Yeah.
But it is quite ironic, isn't it? The fact that people are now rushing to Victoria to get away from COVID when it's been the other way around last year and even only a couple of weeks ago. So, look, they're all used to it, probably Victorian clubs more so than other clubs, but Tom Harley spoke about this yesterday and last night and sort of said, well, this is how it's going to be.
Well, let's have a listen to Tom.
We haven't taken the full squad. We've taken numbers to get us through what we think is a couple of weeks. That's just north of 30 players. But look, it's something that you try to prepare for as best as you possibly can. It was probably on the radar as early as last Sunday night, Monday morning. But we got the call and moved pretty swiftly this afternoon. And we'd love to play West Coast at the SCG next weekend. The fix is obviously not set, but if that can't be the case, we'll front up anytime, anywhere.
Swans footy boss Tom Harley speaking there. Anytime, anywhere from Tom. The GMHBA Stadium is on standby for Saturday's Port Adelaide-Sydney contest in the event the match can no longer be staged in South Australia, says Sammy Landsberger in the paper today. GMHBA. There you go.
Now, that would be a real shame because Sydney and Port Adelaide, that's a massive game because that's top four conversations as to who wins that game. So it would be a shame that it can't be played where it should be played because, look, the reality is we're not going to have that sort of the fixture integrity. We didn't have it last year. You could argue that there never is. But that would be a shame because now we start talking about asterisks again, don't we?
Well, yeah. I think there's a fair bit to play before we put the big asterisk out. But the little one certainly starts to come out if this continues. Is it interesting in Sam's piece today in the Herald Sun, Sammy Landsberger, who does a great job just by the way. It was solely... This is fascinating. A conversation and rhetoric. It was solely the AFL's call to evacuate the two New South Wales clubs on Tuesday as a precautionary measure. It was not a decision made in consultation with state governments. The very next paragraph from Sam says, the AFL's move was justified late on Tuesday night when the Victorian government slammed shut its border to its people from central Sydney and surrounding suburbs. So I would suggest that perhaps they did know something before they precautionary evacuation took place up there in Sydney. But it does have bigger ramifications and not just for this round of AFL footy, but the A-League Grand Final. Of course, Sydney FC coming to town on Sunday. So what happens then? And we were trying to get hold of Greg O'Rourke this morning from Football Australia to find out, the A-League to find out what is happening. We've got Scotty Jamieson from a playing perspective, but I'm not sure whether or not he'd be up with the latest this morning.
Well, I think it's 50%. So 50% crowds for the grand final. If it was anything less than that, the odds were that it was going to actually be moved to Sydney.
But I think there's a bigger issue in the crowd. It's whether or not the players from Sydney can come in.
Well, I was going to say, that was what it was going to be. And then, of course, well, Sydney, it's an issue there. So that's thrown everything into chaos, that one. And then the AFL announced, well, I don't know whether they have announced, but it's emerged that you're going to have a cap on crowds at 25,000. Now
at the G,
Marvel
as well.
Now Hawthorn and the Giants has been moved from Sydney to Melbourne.
Well, that gets about 18,000. Last couple of crowds have been 18,000.
They're not going to get any more than 25,000 for that one.
No.
Essendon, Melbourne. will be
emotional.
Talking about Essendon. Essendon and Melbourne. That'll affect the crowd. But there's a few others. There's a few others where it's just good to have people back, and I'm not sure it would make a massive difference on what the crowd number would be.
No, we just want to make sure that game goes ahead on Sunday at Amy Park. That's what we want. Obviously, a crowd would be helpful for the home team, but we just want to make sure it goes ahead. We'll speak to Scotty Jamieson about it and hopefully get in touch with Greg O'Rourke later in the program as well. And as someone else suggests as well, off the SMS, State of Origin 2 is on Sunday night. Now, Queensland, well, I'm not sure they've shut their borders to Greater Sydney at the moment. They may have. I might not be across that overnight. But we'll certainly be keeping an eye on that, because you're right, yes. State of Origin 2 is a pretty important event on the calendar as well.
In the cricket last night, in the World Test Championship final, India 2-64 in their second innings, having dismissed New Zealand for 249. So it was again a delayed start because of rain, but then they're able to get through the rest of the day once play got underway at 11:30 local time. So going into day six, which is the final day, so the reserve day was brought into play because they lost an entire day. They played 10 minutes or 10 overs, they weren't going to be able to enact that final reserve day, but because a full day was lost, they could. Two full days were lost, I think, in the end.
Wait, what did you say then?
If there was a full day's play lost,
yeah,
they could then use the reserve day.
Right.
But if there was, say, 65 overs lost in a day, they only played 30 overs, they couldn't use the reserve day. There had to be a full day lost for that sixth day to be used.
That seems stupid to you?
I don't know. I can see both sides to the argument, to be honest.
Because this is the crescendo of 2 years worth of test matches. Yeah. This is the only game really that matters, and you've got a spare day just in case you can't get your overs in. Why wouldn't you just guarantee that the overs are played, unless you're losing?
Well, then you just keep playing, going to an eighth day or a ninth day.
Just play the overs.
Well, that's what I'm saying. If you're going to have reserve day there, which in a way is artificial because it doesn't happen in normal test conditions, just keep playing until there's a result. But then that makes it artificial as well, because you're meant to sort of, you know, push harder at certain times to be able to get... Yeah, maybe it's what you say, get the overs in.
Just play the overs.
Anyway, they're not going to. This is what they're going to do. So going to the final day in Southampton tonight, our time, day six, in New Zealand, I don't think they can win from here. India are 32 runs in front with, as I said before, the score at 2-64. I'm not sure how much of you watched of it last night.
No, zero.
Oh, it was fantastic cricket. The ball was moving around all over the place. Mohammad Shami took 4-76. Ishan Sharma 3-48. It shows how hard it was to bat Kane Williamson. At one point, he was 15 off 100 balls. He finished, he got out for 49 off 177. So New Zealand kind of up against it, but both teams have batted in difficult conditions. So it'll probably be a draw, and unfortunately, it's because of the weather.
Has it captivated your imagination? Had it been, let's just say it was played in South Africa, and you're almost guaranteed good weather. Because England's a volatile place to be playing Test cricket for a championships, for a season ending.
They were unlucky, though, because the weather had been pretty good for a few weeks before. What I was surprised about was why it wasn't played at Lord's. If you're going to play it in England, you'd play it at Lord's. I mean, playing it at the Rose Bowl is like, I don't know, playing it...
GMHBA.
Don't want to be disrespectful to another state, but, you know, it'd be like not playing it on one of the main grounds. It just seemed a bit odd. I mean, the Rose Bowl is very rarely used for Test cricket outside those bio-bubble type test venues. So that surprised me a little bit. I actually don't know the answer as to why it wasn't played at Lord's, to be honest.
Well, you're right. That would make sense to have the Test Championship played at the home of cricket.
If it was held in Australia, you'd expect it to be held at the MCG, the SCG, or maybe Adelaide Oval. That would be the three you'd look at.
Mm.
Anyway, they didn't.
It does seem a touch unusual.
Yeah. So, look, it's frustrating from a weather perspective, but yeah, it is in England, and they've always got to factor that in.
Yes, it is in England. Righto. Okay, we'll see what happens there.
I've got to bring this to the table because it's been playing on my mind all night.
What's happened?
Last night I went to the Pancake Parlour, which... Yeah.
Sorry, what?
Exciting. I went to the Pancake Parlour. Very exciting. Always exciting. I was rapt that my six-year-old niece decided that that was her venue of choice. So I lobbied hard for it, and we got the result up.
You
so
lobbied her hard for
guaranteed.
It.
Guaranteed. Absolutely.
Righto. Just check.
So this is how embarrassing my family can be at times. I'm prepared to say this publicly.
Go to the pancake parlor.
Yeah. There is a deal at the pancake parlor. No, the pancake parlor. There's nothing wrong with the pancake parlor.
Geez, it sat there for a little while.
So there is a deal at the pancake parlor. This actually happened, Daniel.
Mm-hmm.
That if the temperature drops below 10 degrees, you can get a $10 pancake situation, whether it's a chocolate pancakes or berry pancakes. It's like a winter warmer type thing. Uh-huh. But the temperature has to get below 10 degrees.
In the restaurant?
In the atmosphere.
Just the world.
So my mother and my sister are in the restaurant charting the temperature outside because it was 11, that they decided that they would not order, that they would wait 15 minutes just in case the temperature dropped so that they could get the winter warmer deal. So they're sitting there with their phones, particularly my mother, sitting there with her phone, hoping and barracking for the temperature to drop so that they could get the deal.
At a six-year-old's birthday party.
So rather than sort of celebrating with little Heidi, the fact that she was six and opening presents and seeing how good her day was and all that sort of thing, eyes on the phones, hoping for a temperature drop.
That is an all-time low.
It's not far off, Brian.
That happened. That happened last night our family.
Brian might be on the money there. That's a most unusual outcome for anyone, I think. I don't think I've come across anything quite like that in all my years.
I'll just wait to see if the temperature drops
under 10 degrees.
Because I'm close. I'm near the threshold.
So is that... There's a lot of questions. Is the pancake the meal? Is that like dinner? Or is that the dessert after your chicken parma?
Well, I had the chicken parma on a potato cheese pancake.
What?
And then I had a pancake after that. Now, I'm happy to admit that I have it, because it is an unusual choice.
Most unusual.
But it's very good. The fact you have to put a second mortgage on the house...
Well, that's why the winter warmer deal is so important.
That's right.
That's why Mum was really hunting hard for the...
My mother may have suggested that.
For the thermostat.
That's right. But it does work. It's good. It really is.
The chicken parm on the pancake. Yeah. And then the pancake post the chicken parm on the pancake.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. I just don't know.
Don't comment unless you have it.
No, I didn't. I said I don't know.
Yeah.
I didn't say it was bad or good.
It's surprising. I tried to convince my dad to get one, but he wasn't so thrilled with the idea. And then I reckon having...
Now, your dad's an intelligent man. What did he have for dinner?
No, he just went to lemon and sugar. He's on a diet.
Oh, so he had a pancake for dinner?
Yeah.
Well, that hurts me too. He's a better man.
Lemon and sugar type setup.
He's a better man from that.
Yeah.
Did the temperature drop below 10 or not?
No, it didn't.
Right.
It hovered, but it didn't. So Mum was a bit flat. She didn't get the deal.
What did Mum order in the end?
No, I don't know what she... I actually don't know what she...
Did Heidi actually get any presents? Did anyone talk to her?
Yeah.
Apart from looking at their apps?
No, she opened it. She just got heavily involved in the colouring and was sort of left to her own devices with the other children as my mother and my sister had their head in their phones checking ambient temperatures.
Do you know any other six-year-old Heidis?
I don't know.
I don't know any Heidi's under 35, 40, I reckon. It's an unusual name for a young one.
Anyway.
But happy birthday, Heidi. One day your family will care and talk to you about your world as opposed to the weather outside. Speaking of, as we get to the break, did you notice the weather when you woke up this morning? Like, Monday it was 2 degrees.
Yeah.
2 degrees in my world. I got outside this morning. I had a jumper on just in preparation for winter. I had to take it off. It was that bloody hot. It's 15 degrees when I got in the car.
I agree.
What's going on?
Now, a lot of text messages coming through. I am still on the regime.
Well, hang on.
So, you're allowed a cheat day from time to time.
I've never had a cheat
and
day.
And I did have the Bavarian apple as my secondary pancake situation. So, that's fruit. And so, I had that.
I'm concerned about the way you approach this.
Yes. So we had that, and there may have been a drowning of the maple syrup. It's just open slather with the maple syrup. It just sits there in a pot. It's the way you go. So that was the secondary setup.
Right. Okay. Cheat day yesterday. It's okay, everyone. It's okay.
Oh, last one.
I'm going quite well. I am going very well. It's a slow burn, the regime, this
well,
time.
Well, that's
man.
Important. Slow burns are the key.
It's working.
Last one off this. This is from Sam. Has Heidi been ostracised from the family she organised her birthday dinner on a not a cold enough night?
Well, was there may have been. Now, I can't confirm this, but there may have been some criticism from my mum to my sister organising a 5 o'clock party type setup.
Oh,
but it was
seven.
At seven, clearly it was going to be under the temperature.
It's a fair point.
Why would you be having the meal so early?
Especially when it's a winter warmer deal.
That's exactly right. Why would you be having the meal so early?
What's your sister's name?
Zoe.
Zoe, you've let your mother down, you've let your family down.
Well, I think she's let herself down because she was all in. I think it'd been days out preparing. She thought she was in for the winter warmer deal.
Genuinely
under 10
concerned.
Degrees.
Genuinely concerned
about
the
10.7. That was. I wouldn't be surprised, me. My mum would. This is how far my mum would take it. It was 10.7. She'd be arguing that it was 10.
Send through your concerns about the White family, 0416 90 50 52. But as you do that. Thank you, Chopper. Let's get to the quiz. No, 1300 652 927. For the Vlado's Steakhouse quiz, did you know that it's Melbourne's own world-renowned steakhouse, a family business for nigh on 60 years? We get a voucher, $210 lunch or dinner for two, to the winner of the quiz. No one's ever run the board unassisted. Today could be that day. Just by the way, as they're lining up, there are 147,020 people in the US with the first name Heidi. Statistically, the 442nd most popular name. Just in case anyone's wondering, more than 99.9% of people with the first name Heidi are female. In Australia, 72 times Heidi was used in 2019, 80 in 2016. There's a couple of years gaps between there, Frank. What happened to 18 and 17?
There'd be more than that.
It's not a very prominent name, clearly. Clearly. And off the SMS as well. Half, don't forget Brian Brown starred in one of the great Australian movies of all time, Two Hands. Yes, he did, of course. Why isn't that on the birthday bulletin?
Didn't like that movie.
Why is that?
Well, firstly, it was an Australian movie, but
it was with Jack Thompson?
Heath Ledger.
Both of them, or just one of them?
Oh, probably.
Just Heath Ledger.
He's in most of them. Colin Friels. Colin Friels would have been at some point.
You're probably
Bill
right. Heath Ledger, right to you.
Bill Hunter would have had a role.
Righto, Whitey, you have got a full board of calls to take you on for the world-famous five-question quiz. No one's ever run the board unassisted.
No, they have not. Let's get straight into Ben from Mooney Ponds. Ben, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Whitey.
Okay, how are you feeling confidence-wise?
It depends on the questions, though.
Yeah, that's a good point.
No one's ever run the board, Ben. Unassisted.
All right, let's go, Ben. I'm talking about Ben. Ben Simmons is in the news at the moment. Which NBA team does he play for?
Philadelphia.
Very good. Good start.
That's a real sort of dolly, isn't it?
It was. Absolutely. That wasn't a half volley. That was a low full toss. Who is the 203... start again. Who is the 203-centimetre New Zealand fast bowler who took 5 wickets in the final in England against India?
Kyle Jamieson.
Very good. I was going to give you more, but you've just gone bang. Thanks for coming.
We've got a real run-the-board opportunity here.
No chance. Oh, maybe. The last two are a bit difficult.
He's been confident early doors.
All right, Ben. This is the third question, which is a famous voice.
You need to be recruited to play for your national team and be ummed and ahed and have a presentation about why you should play. You should play.
Who is that,
Andrew Bogut.
Oh, boy. This is getting exciting.
Two basketball questions in the first three.
This is getting very, very exciting.
All right, Ben. Question number four. Which international track and field star qualified for her 5th Olympic Games recently? And she is currently a 6-time Olympic gold medalist, going to her 5th Olympics next month.
Australian?
No.
No, we don't win that many medals in the track and field.
No.
Nah, sorry, can't.
Oh, bad luck, Ben. Bad luck, Ben. I'm not going to give another clue just yet.
Gee whiz, I thought Ben was going to go all the way then.
Mark from Bundoora. Good morning, Mark.
Morning, boys. How you going?
Going well, thank you. Which track and field international star qualified for her fifth Olympics recently.
Fifth Olympics?
She's a six-time Olympic gold medalist.
No chance.
Oh, Mark. Now, that means that our last two callers weren't listening yesterday morning when we talked about this, which is a bit disappointing.
Did we?
Which is a bit disappointing.
So 2004 was her first Olympic Games.
She is 35. Simon from North Caulfield. Good morning, Simon.
Morning, guys. No idea here. Marion Jones.
No, not Marion Jones. Bad luck, Simon. Michael from Point Lonsdale's giving us a call on 1300 652 927. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning. You got any clues?
We're going to need a clue.
Just giving you a couple. 35. She's from the United States of America, and she's a sort of a 400-meter runner, 200-meter runner, that sort of situation.
I don't know. Flo Jo? I don't know what her real name is.
Flo Jo?
No.
Flo Jo still with us?
No, I don't think she is. I don't think she is.
Florence Griffith joining?
1300 652 927. Michael from Essendon. Good morning, Michael.
G'day, Whitey. That'd be Alison Felix.
Very good, Michael.
Alison Felix.
I have actually challenged Joey to see whether he could get Alison Felix on the program.
Alison Felix is a beast.
Now, we spoke about Alison yesterday because not only has she qualified for her fifth Olympic Games at 35, but she had a pretty traumatic sort of birth of her daughter, where she almost lost her life, and she's been able to come back a couple of years later and qualify for a fifth Olympic Games. It's a pretty serious effort.
Well, she's a pretty serious athlete. Six-time Olympic gold medalist, 13-time World Championship gold medalist. My goodness, she is one of the all-time greats, Alison Felix. If we can get her on, Joey, there will be a promotion.
Exactly.
Not sure where you go from here, but if you can get Flo Jo on,
I'd be more impressed.
Now, that would be a feat.
She did pass away 22 years ago, but yeah.
That would be a feat.
All right, sorry, Michael, about that. All right, next question. This is for it. This is for the voucher.
Should have asked, how do you spell Alison?
Yes.
A-double-L-Y-S-O-N.
Yeah.
Nobody would have got that.
All right, you ready, Michael?
Yep.
I am a former Perth Wildcat who at my second AFL club, as it stands, have more tackles in the AFL than any other player. Who am I?
Yeah, I can't help you, sorry.
Oh. At least you showed nice manners. How about that, Michael? Let's go to Ivan from St Albans. Ivan, good morning.
Hi, guys.
I am a former Perth Wildcat who at my second AFL club currently have more tackles in the AFL this season than any other player.
Good question.
We'll go for Ricky Grace.
Not Ricky Grace.
Very good.
Not Ricky Grace. Jason from Mount Evelyn. Good morning, Jason.
Morning, James.
I'm a former Perth Wildcat who at my second AFL club have more tackles this year in the AFL than any other player.
Is it Hugh Greenwood?
Very good, Jason.
Yes.
Yes. Very, very good.
It was Hugh Greenwood. I think last week might have been his season high, too.
Have you got power up at Mount Evelyn, Jason? Everything's all right up there?
We only got it back on Saturday, 5:30, so 11 days. 11 long days.
Yeah. Any damage in the backyard?
No. A tree fell down next door, but it fell away from our place. If it had gone 180 degrees the other way, it would have fell through my shed, pool table, dartboard table, tennis table. Yeah, it would have been a disaster.
Oh, you go table tennis table?
And dartboard and pool table in the shed.
Good.
Car's never been in there, that's for sure.
Very good, Jason. Well, congratulations. You are the winner. And what has he won, Daniel?
Oh, with my word, he's won the $210 voucher, lunch or dinner for two at Velado's, Melbourne's own world-renowned steakhouse, a family business for nigh on 60 years. Taylor Adams is with us. Hello, Tay.
Good morning. Thanks, Pharrell. Appreciate that. Yeah, support.
Look, I know. You know how much I love you, Taylor. So, you know, I just want to make sure you feel comfortable. Welcome.
Love it. I love it.
Mid-season break for the Magpies as well. There's been a fair bit happening in your world in the last couple of weeks. What's the last fortnight been like?
Well, last time I spoke to you guys, I actually didn't know the news surrounding
That's
Nathan.
That's right. You'd done a session. You were sweating.
Yeah.
I remember this. You had a circuit.
Yeah. And we went into a meeting that day, and then Bucks told us the news. So, Yeah, things have obviously happened really quickly. It's been nice to have some time away from the footy club to just decompress after what was a fantastic win up in Sydney, and a good week to, let everything sink in. Enjoy the last week of being coached by Nathan, and then to go away and spend some time away from the footy club. We came back on Monday morning, and it was good.
Now, when Sherelle has big news, or netball has big news, Sherelle normally tells us after it's been broken.
Mm.
She comes in here on the Wednesday morning, it breaks about 9 o'clock, and she goes, "Oh yeah, I could have told you that." Mm. You did not know
Wednesday morning.
You had no idea it was coming.
No, and there's a reason why the football club does that, because things get out and whispers start happening.
Yep.
Roddy and Bucks and the board kept it airtight, which was good. It allowed Bucks to present to the group, and before a journalist had a camera in our face as we walked into the football club. So it was really good. Obviously, he handled himself incredibly well. The press conference, but speaking to the group, it was really sad. But a guy that's always given so much and so much of himself, and he gave us a real honest reflection of where he was at and where the football club was at, and how the decision was come to. And from there it was almost like, all right, well, we've got to go and win this weekend, and the guys had to go and prepare for that. So certainly a different week. The build up to the game and even playing Melbourne at the SCG was certainly different for the club. But I thought internally we handled it really well, and Nathan obviously handled it incredibly well, and it was great to see the guys get a win for him on his last game.
He's a class act, no doubt, handled it magnificently. I'm interested, just in a dynamic from a listener's perspective, to go inside that room when Nathan has told you that he's going to be coaching for the last time at the SCG. And not so much what he said, but what happens after. When Bucks and Righty go and you're sitting there as a playing group, what happens? What's the conversation like then? What's the mood like in those moments?
Well, I think the way that the Bucks presented, and how he tried to make it as less somber as he possibly could. The guys obviously got around him, and it was a weird vibe for the next couple of hours. We ended up having to do weights, and well, not having to do. We went and did our weights, and it gave guys an opportunity to chat, to talk. Bucks was still at the club, so to get around him and have conversations. And yeah, I think the way that he handled it made it a lot easier, the whole process. So it meant that players could go and speak to him about it, and that he wasn't scared of what was to come. It was like I'm excited for what's ahead. I'd love to be hanging around you guys for the remainder of the year, but I understand that may not be the best thing for the football club, and I'm here to do what is best for the football club. So as leaders, we went and caught up and immediately sort of had a chat about what, how we could handle the week, try to keep things as normal as possible so that we could go out there and perform on Monday. And a lot of those guys that were sitting in that room as leaders had been with coach under Nathan since either 2009 or 2012. So a long time building relationships with him, and even our most senior players were a little bit rattled.
Yeah.
Did you get any sort of inclination when you went into the room that he was going to say what he was going to say? Was there a feeling that this could happen? Because certainly from the outside, we were surprised by the timing of it.
I was surprised. Yeah, I was surprised. Clearly our season hasn't gone the way that we had planned it for it to go. And we knew that there was discussions happening between Bucks and the board and Righty as GM. And yeah, I guess you never sort of walk into the football club thinking this is going to be the day that your coach decides to step away. And so I think it caught most of us by surprise. But in saying that, we knew that the decision hadn't been made as an ad hoc decision. It was really thought out. The review of the football program by Righty and the board was thorough, and yeah, they come to an agreement that the best thing was for Bucks to step away at that time, and for us to have a little bit of a fresh start and you know, try to, you know, I guess give guys a bit of blue sky ahead for the second half of the year and then for next year onwards.
We've asked you so many times about Nathan Buckley through your time in here, mm-hmm. and there's been highs and there's been lows. It's just been the nature of your journey over the last 5 or 6 years. I'm not going to say, do you think they've made the right decision, but can you see the benefits of now how that opens up everything? Because you haven't been playing horrifically, but you've been playing a bit dour. Do you see it being this big lift of all sorts of pressure and all sorts of uncertainty that it could have a huge benefit on the football club, or is that just too early to tell?
I hope so. I don't think Nathan was the reason why our style was dour. We were, as we saw against Melbourne, you know, we were building to that point. And, you know, there's many reasons we had that sort of breakout game, and hopefully that our form can continue. I don't think too many things will change in terms of our coaching styles and our overall game plan. We wanted to score more. We've been trying to score more for the last 7 or 8 weeks, and we've seen patches where we've been able to do it. But again, you know, against Melbourne, obviously we brought the defensive pressure and were able to then break through and score pretty well. And we left a few out there as well. So I hope so. Time will tell. There's always, in anything like this, there's always positives and negatives. He was a great mentor for many. I'm sure he still will be. He provided an opportunity for all players and staff to feel safe and valued. He's left a great foundation for us to build on. I'm looking forward to what Harves can bring to the group. You know, he's got a unique way of coaching as well, and there's no doubt that he'll put his own little spin on things. And he's already mentioned that most of our game style will stay similar in terms of our defensive style and being really hard to play against in that aspect. He wants to see us score more, which, you know, we've been trying to do anyway, but he's got a few little tweaks that he'll bring in to help us do that.
Tay, that's kind of the practical side, the on-field reaction for you. What was your emotional reaction? Because, as Whitey said, we've spoken to you quite a lot over the last couple of years about Nathan, and you've always been incredibly supportive of him. What was your initial emotional reaction to the news?
Yeah, I was sad. I think taking away the on-field stuff, just having someone like him around for support, for that mentorship, for guidance and leadership, he's been awesome in that aspect for me personally, and I think for the group. You'd ask most guys, and they'd say the same thing. So that was really sad. I think having that week to sort of, you know, let it all sink in. I travelled to Sydney, and you know, being able to spend some time around him and his two boys, and around the group as we prepared to play that game was really important. Not only for the group itself, but I found that really beneficial for myself to have that time away. It's been different. It's not like say goodbye sort of setup. It's in a professional sense, he won't be around the Collingwood Football Club any longer. But no doubt in the short term there'll be the text thrown out to ask for advice and to touch base.
Well, I mean, he's been such a huge part of the club for so many years, and now Robert Harvey does take the reins. Have you felt a shift already? Have you been at the club, or has that not happened because of the bye?
Yeah,
how's that fitted in?
Yeah, we spent Tuesday post the game last week at the club reviewing and sort of projecting forward, and then we've had the last 2 days at the footy club. As I said, the game style, especially our defensive structure and the way we play defensively won't change. Looking forward to seeing what we can do with the ball in hand. I think Haas wants us to take a few more risks and, you know, play a little bit more aggressively, just to try to open up the game and score a little bit more. But we've been trying to do that for the last, 7 or 8 weeks. So there's no doubt that he'll coach differently to Nathan. He's got different philosophies. He presents to the group differently. He probably gives maybe more autonomy to his staff to coach more, and I guess that's the beauty of it. You know, we've got a 9-week period. It's almost a bit of a free hit for our coaches to try a few things and, you know, experiment a little bit with players and just to see how much we can find out about guys and whether or not certain positions suit them. So it's really exciting. Bit of fresh air for the coaches as well. They can you know, bring their fresh ideas to the table and see how we go with it.
Tell you who is a good team who can win in Perth. That's the mighty Melbourne United basketball team. The NBL Grand Final Series is 2 games into it and 2-0 up to the good guys, both on the road in Perth. They're a serious basketball team. And Dean Vickerman is the coach of United. He joins us this morning. Good morning, coach.
Good morning.
Great to have you with us. Now, you've got a game coming up on Friday at John Cain Arena in Melbourne. You've got the last 3 games at John Cain Arena, they tell us, in front of about 5,000 fans. When you got that news, what was the mood like in the camp?
I think we were told originally it was only going to be 1,000. And, we were happy just to know that family and friends were going to be at the game. But, to get to about 50% capacity, I think we got told that yesterday. So, fantastic.
How did you handle the whole build-up, the first couple of games in Perth, but then the uncertainty about what the future of the series actually did look like? How did you manage that with the playing group?
Yeah, same way that we managed the whole year. So whatever information we had, we kind of shared it regardless of the timing. So if that was going into a game, we would tell people what was going on. So, they were great. They've been great all year. As long as they have an understanding of what's going on.
Yeah, and well, the outcome was that it's been a month since you've been home. So it was a big chunk of time leading into these important games. What has the return been like back into Melbourne? Because I can imagine after being away for that period of time, you know, there would have been a level of excitement that sat around returning into your home and your comfortable position. How did you approach that to make sure that everyone's mind's still on the job?
Yeah, there wasn't a lot of choice about, what we did because we arrived back to, you know, get a COVID test and then have to, isolate. So yesterday was a day that, you know, just stay home and go see your family, be with them the whole day, let your body recover, and we'll get back into our work today.
Yeah, right. And so now the mind shifts to that work on court. It's been an amazing start to the series, let's be honest, up 2-0, 2 games, 1 over in Perth. Have there been anything that you've identified you want to really shift and change and take a step up from those 2 games, or are you happy with that performance?
Yeah, we knew they were going to be as good as they've been or even better defensively with the group that they had, so... a lot of our work-ons have been just small offensive adjustments to try and counter what they've been doing defensively, and again, we'll go into this one and make some slight adjustments again.
When you went over to Perth, Dean, did you, just on the quiet, don't sort of, we won't talk to anyone else about this, but did you have a feeling that you wanted to maybe split the series 1-1 over there before you came back, or like to actually jag both of them? That's a massive bonus.
Yeah, it was definitely, it went through my mind. So we need to get one here.
Yeah.
And I guess then once you get the first one, it's like, oh, two would be great. we were able to do it. They were both tough games and, we put ourselves in a good position right now.
We were talking about it earlier in the week that you went away. You didn't know when you were going to come back. You essentially were away for 30 days, 10 matches, of which you won 8. Including some high-pressure finals. How inspired are you about what this group's been able to do?
I think Mitch got asked a similar question in the press conference, and I thought he answered it well by saying, if we can win this thing, then I'll reflect better on that question about what we're able to do. But, everyone had their moments through those 30 days as well. I'm not going to say it was all roses. You know, everyone had their little moments that, the food wasn't great or something, it was tough on our administration staff, to continue to have our plans changed and I credit those guys. But, the playing group were amazing. They just keep turning up, playing the right way,
and you really do a good job of reviewing each other as well. The honesty of our post game was awesome, and so that just kept us on the right track, and also the celebration of good things, and you know, that kind of kept us together.
Hey, it's grand final week in the A-League. Fantastic time to be alive if you're a Melbourne City fan. It's a fantastic time to be alive if you're on the Breakfast Club, because we get to hang out with the captain, if you don't mind, of Melbourne City most weeks here on the Breakfast Club. And he's back again for the final time this season. Scotty Jamieson, welcome to you. Happy grand final week.
Morning, everybody. How are we?
We are terrific, mate. More importantly, no, about us. How are you and the boys?
Yeah, going pretty good. Going pretty good. Just on the way to training now and set up for the day, and then hopefully a day off tomorrow with some golf. So pretty normal.
Right, I like the day off with golf. That sounds like a good idea. And let's get to the detail first. Do you know that it's going ahead? Sydney FC are in a red zone now. A lot of the players will be in a red zone. Do you know what's happening with them and whether or not Sunday will still be as is fixtured at the moment?
No, I haven't heard any information as such since I woke up. The last I got told was it was pretty much dead on that it would be Sunday 4 p.m. So in relation to the, I guess, the Sydney players and the staff, and maybe the fans who may be in red hot spots, I don't know. But I can give them some advice because I've been there, done that. So happy to take any phone calls and help them out.
Well, how are you feeling, Scotty? Because there were some concerning times at the end of the game, a bit of a collision, not till the 69th minute, which meant that you had to come off. Are you okay?
Yeah, no, I'm fine. I'm fine, Sherelle. It's just a sore cheekbone, but people say, you know, soccer's soft, but if that was in the AFL, that's a 10-week rub out. So I've got to let the AFL fans know that, come over to the soccer, or enjoy the soccer code as much as the AFL code, because we're just as tough.
It's just as tough and just as hard. Well, I mean, there were some concerns, obviously, around the concussion side of things, which is a huge thing in sport at the moment, but obviously that was cleared. Are you under a similar kind of system where you get assessed for a concussion and if there's something there that you would have been ruled out?
Yeah, I had a HIA test straight after and then essentially, passed that. And it was a case of, you know, I was fine. It's just a bit groggy because of, getting blindsided and giving the hip and shoulder. Not something I'm accustomed to in our game. So, yeah, just a little bit shaken and groggy. But, the medical staff that we have are first class, and I was looked after straight away. And first day back on yesterday was a light day. So, been very well looked after and done all the protocols and measures that needed to be done, and I'm fit and healthy.
How exciting is it this week for you, Scotty? Because obviously you missed last year's grand final. It means that you're a dad of nearly a year now, or it is a year.
Ten months.
So, I mean, is it particularly special for you that you've been able to get back there straight away and actually lead this young team into a grand final?
It is, mate. It is because of, I guess, the circumstances of what happened last year. And I guess you straight away think whether you win or lose one, more so when you lose one, you know, will you be able to get back there, and, you know, more so, would you be able to get back there next year? So there's definitely the thought of, it might have been a missed opportunity in regards to missing a final, but I guess, you know, throughout the year, I've had confidence that we would get there. You're never certain of anything, mate, but, yeah, definitely had confidence we'd get there. And then, you know, to win on the weekend under, you know, a few tough circumstances was even more sweeter. And then you come into this week and, I've been here a few times. I've tried to do the opposite of what I've done the other four times because I've lost the other four. So I'm trying to do everything opposite, eat opposite, sleep opposite. So, yeah, I'm doing everything opposite to try and get a different result this Sunday.
And we've talked a lot to you in the build-up to the final series about almost the unfairness of having to go through a series without so many of your good players because they're on Socceroos duties. Have they, the younger players, surprised you, or you always thought that they had it in them, that despite the no Jamie McLaren, the no et cetera, that you'd still be able to get to this position?
I think there's always an element of surprise, not so much about their ability, but I guess with the occasion, you know, the occasion being, you know, you win, you're in a grand final, and I guess those young lads, you know, maybe not have had that kind of I guess, expectation or pressure on them to lead the line as such. But there's no doubt about their ability. I definitely feel there's no doubt about that. Like I said, it's more so about the occasion. And, you know, they answered that really well. But with that, it had to get put to bed straight away because there was still one more to play. So really proud of them. But at the same time, you know, I expect them to be able to hopefully back it up.
We mentioned a bit about the game last year, the grand final last year, which unfortunately you guys didn't get up against Sydney. You've said you're doing a couple of things differently. You're trying to flip things on their head to prepare. But is it something that you reference at all within the club, or do you just leave that completely aside?
Great question. Nothing's been spoken about yet, and I don't think anything will be spoken about, just due to the fact that throughout the whole year, I mean, at the start of the season, when we first went up a pre-season, we addressed the situation of losing a grand final. But I think throughout the whole season, it's been about, you know, trying to focus on ourselves and what's done us well to get here. So I don't think that will change just because of it being the penultimate game of the season. And rightly so, Sydney have been the best team for the last 3 years. They've been in the finals. They've won two. So it's going to be a great occasion, albeit it'll be an occasion in Melbourne rather than Sydney.
Jared Lyons is from the Brisbane Lions. He's one of the stars of the midfield brigade there for the Lions. He's done a hell of a job since he's moved across 2.5 years ago now. He's doing great things, averaging 28 disposals this year, his best season statistically, and one of the reasons why the Brisbane Lions are a top four team at the moment. He joins us on the Breakfast Club. Good morning, Jared.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
Great to have you with us, mate. Thursday night footy is going to be big. Going to be very, very big. Brisbane taking on Geelong 4v3 to kick off round 15. It's, every game's important, Jared, but I imagine the ones where you get to play the other real contenders does spice things up a bit in Brisbane town.
I mean, we certainly speak of it as an opportunity. Obviously, it's sort of getting towards the pointy end now, and, any time you can put a gap on sides or, as you say, take on a top four side. It really is an opportunity now, and to show what we've got.
Is what you've got better than what it's been in the last couple of years? Do you think you're better placed?
I mean, probably before that Melbourne game, we probably played sort of 7 or 8 weeks of our best footy. So we've certainly learned a lot from the last couple of years. With a very inexperienced side to getting sucked into finals footy and learning. I guess learning a lot from in a really short space of time, to be honest. A lot of guys had no experience at all playing finals, let alone even contending at all. So, we've certainly learned a lot over the last couple of years, and it's probably put us in good stead now.
Well, what about what you learnt when you headed down to Geelong earlier in the year, round two? The Cats got you by just the 1 point. You came at them hard in that final quarter, but you just couldn't quite get there. Do you reflect on that at all, that experience, and what you took out of that?
Yeah, we've probably had a look at the last few times we've played them. We just keep giving up sort of periods of the game where they kick 3, 4, 5 goals. Otherwise, we've sort of matched them pretty well. So, they're a team that can score quickly when they want to. So we've just got to make sure that we sort of stem the flow a little bit, stay in the game for as long as we can. And, we'll certainly take a little bit of confidence out of the last time we played them, especially playing them down there, which is really hard to do. So they're in great form, and we sort of know it's going to be a big game.
What game, Jared, do you look back at more? Do you look back at the most recent one from earlier this season, or do you look back to the prelim last year where you got them at the Gabba, which is obviously where tomorrow night's game is going to be played?
We'll probably look at a bit of both, probably more so tactics-wise. The game this year, just things change over the off season, and I mean, even since then, probably a lot's changed the way Geelong plays. So, even just looking back at the last few games they've played themselves is probably the best way to go about it. But we certainly acknowledge that they've got us the last few times we've played them. So, we're not going to shy away from that, and probably onus is on probably us in the midfield to really get it going.
Half spoke before when he introduced you to the fact that you've had your best year statistically. In 10 of the 13 games you've played this year, you've had 25 disposals or more. They're big numbers. Do you think you're at the absolute top of your game at the moment, or is it that you've got so many other better midfielders around you now that are coming through that it's easier to get a kick?
I guess you could probably look at it either way. We do have a terrific midfield, and I guess when you play well, it is easy to get the ball. I know personally, I'm not going out to chase kicks or anything each week. I'm just going out to play, I guess, a team game with the other guys in there. And yeah, you're right, they are fantastic players. So when we come up against sides, it's probably hard for them to pick matchups. You can always go with a tag, but I guess, yeah, you sort of depends where that goes, whether it's Lockie or Zorks or human baggage. So I guess I'm down the rung a little bit, which is nice sometimes. But yeah, personally, I just want to go out and play good footy every week, and consistency is something that I pride myself on, and I've been able to do that this year.
Let's touch base with Jason McCartney, the head of football at the GWS Giants. There was a dash for freedom, so they said. Someone said it yesterday. It was funny because they just needed to get out of Sydney. It's basically what needed to happen so the season could go ahead. I wonder what Jason McCartney thought about all of that. Jason, good morning.
Good morning, Daniel, Sherelle, Adam. How are you?
We are well. Was it a dash for freedom from your end?
Certainly not a dash for freedom. It's obviously, as a club, we've been liaising with the AFL probably since last Saturday afternoon and again on Sunday. And obviously, it was our preference as a club to stay in Sydney, but kept monitoring the situation. So we, along with the AFL, implemented the supplementary protocols around our players and staff last Sunday night, and with the endeavours to see it through as long as we could. But obviously, with the situation, the AFL's really bound by what different state governments and restrictions around borders that they're putting on.
Yep.
So once there was an indication that parts of Sydney would probably move into a red zone, which they did at 1 a.m. this morning, it's going to be best place for the games to continue this weekend, that us and the Swans hopped on a flight. So pretty much 16 hours ago, we got that information and both clubs activated. And yeah, we got into our hotel in Melbourne about 10 o'clock last night.
So where are you?
We're in the Sofitel in Collins Street at the moment. I don't know where the Swans are. The Swans obviously a bit of a different programming because they need to get into Adelaide to play this weekend. So yeah, we're here. So we'll have a debrief this morning and go through. We haven't got an indication of length of time yet, but I would imagine obviously the game this week. Obviously we're playing the Hawks at the MCG Sunday, which we're really excited and looking forward to. And then we are scheduled to play the Demons next weekend at some stage at the MCG again. So we'd imagine we'll just see that period through and just monitor if there's any changes, and we look forward to getting back to Sydney.
We had Taylor Adams in here earlier this morning, and we talked about the volatility of the calendar and the fixture again, and it just becomes just almost normal. It's not frustrating anymore. It's just the way things are. Is that the way you sort of sell it to your players?
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously, last year was quite unique, and we've got that lag and the carry-on of what's going on this year. But everyone's just so better prepared and understanding. And I think the AFL and all clubs learned a lot from last year. So there is a little bit more flex in what we're doing at the moment. And obviously, for us being here, we were COVID-tested yesterday morning in Sydney. We didn't obviously know we were coming to Melbourne then. And then we were COVID-tested again once we got here last night, so all those tests have come back negative this morning. So we're free to move around as under Victorian government legislation. So it's normal training program. It's actually a day off today. So yeah, we're pretty relaxed about it all, and we'll organise things for training Thursday and Saturday. And yeah, we'll get stuck into the Hawks on Sunday.
Well, the good news is zero cases in Victoria. That's just come out about 5 minutes ago. So that's good news. Now you're down here. Jason, you kind of touched on it, but I'm just interested, do you have to address with the players at all about the change? And what I mean by that is you've got a big game on the weekend, particularly after the win last week. It would have been an easier task to beat Hawthorn up in Sydney rather than in Melbourne on Hawthorn's home ground. Do you touch on that at all, about not so much the unfairness of it, but the change of circumstances, or you don't even bother?
What we'll do this morning is we'll give the players a bit of a brief of what information we've got, and it is their day off, so we're mindful of keeping things as normal as possible. So, yeah, we won't harp on the fact that we're now playing. Well, we
the reality is we're really excited to be playing at the MCG because it's a ground that, unless it's finals, we don't get there that often. So we're excited by that. So we just see it as a great opportunity. So many sides have slipped and changed, you know, with the fluid nature of fixturing and what other states have been dealing with. So we'll just continue on that vein and see it as a great opportunity.
That was the best of the Breakfast Club. If you want to hear the full interviews again, go straight to the website, rsn.net.au.